Hey there, Columbus, and welcome to Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, your host, and I sincerely hope that you're enjoying this December evening. As the weather gets cooler and the days get shorter, what better way to enjoy the lengthening darkness than with a local radio broadcast? Warm up and relax as we take tonight to explore indoor and cool weather activities, chat about Instagram and Snapchat, and look back on the warmer months and all of the wildlife that depend on them. We'll hear from teens and families all over Central Ohio and hopefully leave you a little more insightful than we found you. All right, I'll just be the first to say it. It's getting cold. After a rather brutal summer and a very mild fall, we've suddenly been plunged into 30-degree mornings and 40-degree days. Not bad, really, when you look at winter yet to come, but still a very sudden turn from what we had all become used to. And with the waning light and the general sleepy feeling of winter, all of the delightful outdoor activities that occupied our time all spring and summer long are fast becoming impractical, if not downright dangerous. So what do you do when swimming pools, amusement parks, and baseball diamonds are all shutting down for the season? Well, that's exactly what one of the students from Barrack Recreation Center in Columbus wanted to know. So she took up her mic and interviewed a few of her friends to find out what kept them busy in the cooler months. And her results became this week's Trend Watch.
During the winter, when you can't really do a lot of things outside, what do you like to do to fun or to be productive?
So I volunteer at Nationwide Children's Hospital. I watch Netflix, and I'll go to parks or movies or like bowling or the mall with my friends.
How do you think there's a way to stay active during the winter and like not just stay in your house all the time?
You can go to like gyms or like I play like indoor tennis every once in a while too, so.
Cool. Thanks, Jiva.
Yeah.
I enjoy going to concerts. Sometimes I volunteer at the Normandy Pet Rescue. I enjoy that. I practice golf inside. It's called the Dome. It looks like a bubble. And I really enjoy watching Netflix. I like going, like trying new like brunch places, like in the Short North. I like finding new pancakes. And spending time with friends more than I probably could in the spring or summer because of golf taking up a lot of time outside, like when it's warm out. So, yeah.
What do you do with your friends?
We really like North Star, so we go there a lot, almost like a family dinner at North Star. Sometimes we'll go downtown and just, like, walk around or, like, find new things to do when the NHL All-Star Game was here. We went ice skating on the rink outside, and I really can't ice skate, but it was fun, and my friend held me up, so that was very considerate.
Cool, thank you.
You're welcome.
I like to play Zumba on my Wii. I do a lot of Zumba dancing, and I also watch a lot of Netflix. I'm currently on season 9 of Grey's Anatomy. I also... Well, playing indoor tennis helps because that's year-round, so I still get to, like, be active in that part. And then practicing piano, that keeps me busy indoors, so I don't have to, like, dread about not being able to go outside.
What do you do with your friends in the winter?
That's hard because they play winter sports, so sometimes, like, we don't really hang out a lot. But if we do, then it's, like, it always involves, like, some sort of food. So, like, if we go out to, like, lunch or something like that, or, like, the dinner, especially for, like the dances and stuff, then that's like, helpful.
Thanks.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Sparkling with diamond light, the road.
You're listening to Youth Beat right here on Columbus Community Radio. Again, that interview was conducted at the Barrack Recreation Center in the heart of Columbus. Now, as much as we'd all hate to admit it, we're probably not going to be as active as we'd like to this winter. And who can blame anyone for wanting to stay at home, wrapped up in a cozy blanket and pretending to ignore the snow slowly piling up on their driveway? Regardless, you'll probably turn to your phone for entertainment at some point. Now, I'm betting that a lot of our listeners have more than a few social media apps downloaded on their phone. Heck, some of you may even be thumbing through one right now. So which is your favorite? A year or so ago, most of you probably would have said Facebook or Twitter. But a recent shift in social media formats has started to render these text-based sites outdated. Snapchat, Instagram, and other photo-based social media has begun to overtake its iconic predecessors, especially in teenagers. So what is it about these sites that sets them apart? We turn to yet another representative from Barrack to find out that answer.
For the past several years, photo-based social media seems to be overtaking its text-based progenitors as the most popular social networking platform. As of September 2013, Instagram, a mobile photo sharing and social networking service, had attracted over 100 million users since its release 4 years ago. Snapchat, a photo messaging service that was released in 2011, has garnered an estimated daily user base of 16.5 million. Growth of both are expected to continue, that is, until they are displaced by the next trend. What is it about these new forms of communication that have made older platforms like Twitter or Facebook obsolete? I talked to two high school seniors about the appeal. What appeals to you about Instagram and Snapchat?
I like looking at people. I like the aesthetics that come from it, because I feel like people try harder for Instagram. And then for Snapchat, I feel like it's like quick snaps of information.
What do you like about the visual aspect of Instagram and Snapchat over like mediums like Twitter and Facebook, which are text-based?
I feel like with Twitter and Facebook, first, I really don't like the opinions of others sometimes. And, like, it's not the best thing, in my opinion. I don't know, it's just, like, blocks of text. And, like, I could just read an article if I really want to hear what other people's opinions are, or just talk to them. Whereas, like, Snapchat and Instagram, it's like, oh, this is what they're thinking. Also, I'm more of an images person, so... But that might be my generation.
Do you think visuals are more stimulating and give you more information about the people? Why do you think you're an image person as opposed to a text-based person? And do you think that has anything to do with, attention span?
I think it's partially attention span, especially, again, for our generation, because it's more like you can't really spend enough time on long articles. You can't spend enough time on messages. So a picture that's, like, you can quickly swipe with for Instagram or for Snapchat where you can, like, just quickly thumb through it.
Okay, last question. As a user, what do you like about using Instagram and Snapchat?
I like it when people snap me. I feel like I can see my friends and what they're doing and where they are. So, like, I like to do the same thing for them, like show them where I am. So that instead of describing it like, oh yes, I'm in a classroom where there's cinder blocks and there's like 20 chairs. Like you still won't understand what I'm saying if I wrote that through Twitter. But if I had a picture of Miss Murray's office or her room, that's like completely different. And then for Instagram, I really like it when it's kind of like a stroking of the ego thing. Not only have them to like see what I'm doing, but for them to like have, for me to have instant gratification, for me to have like quick likes. It's like a drug. Not really though, I don't take drugs.
You think it's a vanity thing too?
I am not vain. Just kidding. I am slightly, yeah. No one wants to have only 5 likes on an Instagram photo. If it was over 5 or 100, everyone would pick 100 because it's like 100 people like feel your picture, like they get it or they want to get it. Or they want to be where you are. Or they want the food that you're posting. Or whatever. It's almost also, like, greed, also. But, like, to have other people lust over what you're having, like, whether it's food. Or, like, Snapchat, like, where you are. If you make a Snap story, like, my life is slightly better than yours.
That was good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What appeals to you about Instagram and Snapchat? Well, I like Snapchat because it's like a really quick way of relaying information to someone, and it's a really easy way to send like a picture of either something that you're doing. It's faster than using iMessages for photo sharing, and it's also like more face-to-face than text-based media. Instagram is nice because you can kind of see what other people are doing, and it's just cool to look at pictures of pretty things instead of text-based media, which doesn't give as much information, because Instagram, it's kind of like you're given more information to see, and it's kind of, there's more of like a game to it, and it's kind of more of a competition, like comparing your pictures to other people's pictures, and it's different than just text-based, where you can't really like look, you can't really compare your stuff to other people's stuff.
What appeals to you more about the visual aspect of Instagram and Snapchat over stuff like Facebook or Twitter, where it's just text usually?
Instagram and Snapchat are, it's just more interesting. It's more like faster to just look at the picture instead of having to scroll through lots of text.
Does it take less effort?
It's less effort, and it's more like stimulating and appealing. So people are more inclined to want to look at pictures and see what other people are doing instead of just like reading it or hearing about it, because it gives kind of more of a context and it gives a lot more information than if someone were just to type where they went, for example.
Instead of a spectator, what do you like about it as a user, like someone who posts pictures and contributes to this collection of like moments in people's lives that you like looking at?
Well, I like the fact that there is like a visible quantity of popularity in a sense, where like you get likes or favorites or whatever. For Instagram, you get likes on your pictures, and you can kind of see like, oh, you get like 100 likes, like 100 people like this picture or whatever, and it just kind of like validates you in a sense. And Instagram's also nice because you can put filters on your things, and it's just like a really quick and easy way of photo editing that requires basically no effort, but it looks just as nice as spending like a lot of time like photoshopping filters and like putting colors all over, like putting a layer of color on Photoshop. As for Snapchat, like the Snap stories, I guess that's like the major form of social media, or that's the major form of like, yeah, I guess media that is exposed to large groups of people, because Snapchat is usually more intimate. But the like media aspect of it, I think, is really interesting because it's just kind of like basically stuff that you can just share like what you're doing on a daily basis, and it's less formal, I guess, than Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, because you can literally just be like watching Netflix and you can share that. Whereas if you were to post that stuff on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, people would just kind of be like, it's just useless information. But on Snapchat, it's like less of a big deal if you post something kind of like petty or insignificant or useless.
Okay, last question. Do you think there's a vanity piece of it too? Like, because you talk about how people like to share parts of their life, and it's nice to show people what you're doing, and it's also like people will take photos of themselves and send them. Do you think that like there's a vanity piece to it, where we want to share what we're doing with others, and like there's just a need to connect, that these platforms can fuel at a more like intimate level with pictures instead of text?
I definitely think that. I think that especially Instagram and Snapchat, it's like a huge thing where people feel like they need to validate themselves in certain ways. Like Instagram, basically, like your worth is in how many likes you have, how many followers you have, etc.
Rise, Hudson, Sierra,
Lo-Fi, Early Bird, Toaster, Nashville,
Sutra, Walden, Kelvin, Brannon. Which one to choose?
Tree Instagram.
Lamp Instagram.
Lunch Instagram.
Every day.
Work Instagram.
Pant Instagram.
Shoes Instagram.
Car Instagram.
Every day.
Boom. Again, Instagram. That was the Barrack Recreation Center, and this is Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. Now, I'm sorry if we've bored you with all this talk of cold weather and indoor activities and technology. I myself am an outdoor person, and there's nothing I love more than a good piece on Mother Nature herself. Unfortunately, her press secretary said she was unavailable for an interview, so we turned to the next best woman. Nicole Jackson is one of our most beloved reporters here at Youth Beat, and is also an avid birder when she's not trying to save the world through informal environmental education. She often brings her recorder to events, and way back when the birds were migrating north, she took it to Swan Creek Metro Park in Toledo, Ohio, to record some segments on the biggest week in American birding. While she was down there, she ran into a very interesting family who traveled just as far north as the birds, and they were kind enough to tell her their story. We liked it so much that this week, it's our Eco Beat.
Hi, my name is Nicole Jackson. I am the interviewer today with Canopy Family. There's Jen and Carlos. We are actually out at Swan Creek Metro Park, and I will be talking to them about our birding hikes today, as well as a little bit more about the Canopy Family. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I am doing well. So can you give us a little bit of background information on Canopy Family?
Sure. Well, we are a family of eco-lodges located in the Republic of Panama, which is the southernmost country in Central America. So we've come quite a ways to be here for today and the biggest week in American Birding Festival, located just nearby in Oak Harbor, Ohio. And we specialize in birding and nature tours in Panama. And Panama has over 1,000 species of birds recorded in the country now. So there's everything from beautiful toucans and tanagers, herons, and a lot of the migrants that we're seeing up here today are passed through Panama every year during their great migration south.
So how has your experience been so far with the biggest week in American birding?
It's fantastic. This is my fourth year here, and I consider this my Christmas, coming here and seeing all these birds that I've just been seeing down in Panama passing through, but up here on their breeding grounds and in their breeding colors and singing is truly a great experience.
So, Carlos, you are here today helping out with the birding tour with families. Can you kind of explain your role with the Canopy Family, as well as what you put together today for the bird watching?
Hi, Nicole. Yeah, I'm a senior guide at the Canopy Family in Panama. Hi, Nicole. I'm Carlos Betancourt, and I'm a senior guide at the Canopy Tower and marketing manager. And I enjoy bird watching and enjoy, you know, sharing with people this passion that I have for birding. And sharing this with people is a great experience for me. And especially this morning when we had the Latin community out with their kids, and then you can share this experience where they can enjoy this, and then finding something for them to come and do so close with this beautiful park, and enjoy just the bird calls and having a good time together as a, you know, with the family. I think this experience is really great to do this kind of event and at the biggest week. I will really enjoy it.
So what was your experience as far as becoming a bird watcher? How did you get into bird watching?
Well, I got into birding when I was a little kid. I didn't know it was birding. I just enjoyed finding things in the forest, exploring the forest. I was living in the city, and my mom decided to move into the countryside, a little bit more of the forest area. And then I really experienced being out with my grandma, looking at different birds, looking at different wildlife, and I got into it at a very early age thanks to my grandma. I think grandparents play a very important role in the life of the grandkids, you know, because they're the one that have the time to talk to you and to take you out into nature while your parents are busy working, you know.
So we have a teacher here. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Marta Torres. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I'm from Adelante. We are a non-profit organization. We help to the Latin community to integrate to the community. So we help with some benefits to buy houses with the kids when they are going to the school, and prepare for them, and prepare for the future, and And right now we are a group of 0 to 3 years old with us. So we are enjoying a lot of here.
So how was your birding experience today?
Oh, it's wonderful. They like it a lot. They are looking for the birds and the colors. And it's the first time in this weather we are going to the park. So I think it was fantastic. Wonderful.
So why do you think it's important for families to get outside and enjoy nature?
Yes, they need to integrate, to look for the nature, because they like, so we are enjoy today because the weather is fantastic for them, because our weather is very different. And this is the moment of the year that you can go outside and look around and play and the playground and everything. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for interviewing with me. And I am glad I got to come out and hang out and eat food, very yummy food with you, everyone. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicole.
Singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rock and robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rock and robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Blow rock and robin, what we really gonna rock.
Again, that was Nicole Jackson interviewing members of the Canopy family. You're listening to Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. We're just starting to wind down for the evening, but I think we have some time left for our creature feature. This week's featured creature is the North American porcupine. Second only to beavers, the North American porcupine is one of the largest rodents on the continent. It spends its days napping in cozy dens or up in the limbs of trees, and it comes out at night in search of good things to eat. Herbivorous by nature, they enjoy gnawing on grasses, leaves, roots, fruits, and veggies, and a need for salt can sometimes bring them in close contact with human car tires or sweat-covered hand tools. Their infamous quills are actually modified hairs, and one porcupine can have as many as 30,000 of them. Not only do these prickly adaptions make the animal look less appetizing, the quills near the rear can stick up lightning fast and deliver a nasty surprise to enemies that get too close. But no, they cannot actually shoot them out. Shy by nature, porcupines prefer to live alone, although they sometimes form small denning groups in the winter. Surprisingly good at climbing and swimming, these creatures, like most of their rodent cousins, are adaptable enough to have survived a pretty consistent history of being hunted by humans. By the way, did you know that a baby porcupine is called a porcupet? And with that, we come to a close. As always, we'll leave you with an ending quote, this week from author Elizabeth Gilbert, who said, "You were given life. It is your duty, and also your entitlement as a human being, to find something beautiful within life, no matter how slight." This is Lindsay for Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. Good night.
Youth Beat Radio is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, the Puffin Foundation West, and other local sponsors. Thank you.